Hello and welcome to the Mount Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, October 1st. Happy Saturday! And it's October, can you believe it? I'm pre-recording this, so I'm kind of wondering if October is going to bring some fallish weather into our midst. Perhaps today you can take a walk and maybe wear long sleeves. I don't know, just guessing. Okay, we're in Joshua again today, chapter 21, and we're going through the allotments for the Levites. Remember, the Levites are the ones who are going to be God's workers in the tabernacle and in the lands. And so they don't get a land. Their allotment is what is brought to the tabernacle. And so they live on the offerings of the people, but they do have pasture lands and cities. And so this is recording where the Levites lived. As we did yesterday, we're kind of going to sum it up a little bit as we discuss the lands allotted to the Levites. Starting in verse 20, the rest of the Kohathite clans of the Levites were allotted towns from the tribe of Ephraim, together with their pasture lands, four towns. And from the tribe of Dan, they received four towns and their pasture lands. And from the half tribe of Manasseh, they received, together with their pasture lands, two towns. All these 10 towns and their pasture lands were given to the rest of the Kohathite clans. The Levite clans of the Gershonites were given from the half tribe of Manasseh, two towns and their pasture lands. From the tribe of Issachar, four towns and their pasture lands. And from the tribe of Asher, together with their pasture lands, four towns. From the tribe of Naphtali, together with their pasture lands, three towns. I'm in verse 33. The total number of towns of the Gershonite clans came to 13, together with their pasture lands. The Merarite clans, the rest of the Levites, that is, were given from the tribe of Zebulun, together with their pasture lands, four towns. From the tribe of Reuben, together with their pasture lands, four towns. And from the tribe of Gad, together with their pasture lands, four towns in all. The total number of the towns allotted to the Merarite clans, who were the rest of the Levites, came to 12. The towns of the Levites in the territory held by the Israelites were 48 in all, together with their pasture lands. Each of these towns had pasture lands surrounding it. This was true for all these towns. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. I love verse 45 that we just ended with. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel has failed. Every one was fulfilled. This is repeated on a few occasions throughout the book of Joshua, and it draws attention to the main theme of this book, that the Lord has kept his promises to Israel. And it reminds us that the Lord keeps his promises to us, one of which is that his presence will never leave us or forsake us. In the Psalms today, we're going to read number 120, and this is a song of ascents, meaning that it was sung as the Israelites pilgrimaged to the temple. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom bush. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. In the Gospels today, we're going to read Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. The title in my Bible says, That which defiles. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.'" Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." In this passage, Jesus is once again correcting the Pharisees, who are focusing on these outside rules. They want the disciples of Jesus to wash their hands. But what really matters, according to Jesus, and what really matters in the end is the heart. The Pharisees have wrongly made rule following this litmus test for intimacy with God. However, as Jesus is emphasizing over and over, our sin and our devotion, they come from the heart. And the heart is what you are. It's the secrecy of your thoughts and your feelings. And it's utterly crucial to the Lord. What we are in the deep and the private places of our lives is what God cares about most. I remember just a few days ago, we read in Matthew chapter 12 that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So out of the well that is within us comes what we are about. And in this passage, there were people who were trying to get around caring for their parents. And so they'd give some money to the temple and the Pharisees would bless it. And this was just a workaround. And Jesus was pointing out that the heart of the matter, that they were not honoring their father and their mother. So today as we pray, I want us to pray for our hearts and for God to reveal to us places in the deep recesses of who we are that perhaps need to change. And then let's just pray that God would do the supernatural work of transformation in our midst. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you made our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that you would transform them. Lord, in the deepest parts of who we are, we pray that you would continue to do your work of making us more like our Savior. We know that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And sometimes in my own experience, that's not really pretty. So I just pray, Lord, that you would change me, forgive me, conform me. Help me to be a conduit of your love and grace. Bless my brothers and sisters and their hearts. Make them wholly thine. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.